As I promised you earlier, and delivering on said promise, we have the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce joining us every other Monday, and this is one of those Mondays, and it's our great friend Eric Spoonmore. Happy Easter. Back to work. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Glass. How are you guys doing? You know, before we get started, I just want to say thank you so much for having the Reds on your broadcast. I used to have Bally Network, and I don't anymore. Well, so the only way I get to listen to my Reds is on WGCL. So really appreciate that. But we did have a very nice family Easter. The weather was perfect. You know, I was outside walking earlier today, and this is what you call a Chamber of Commerce Day. Never heard that old term.
I use that all the time, buddy.
Yes.
And I should have used it today. That would have been a good idea. You should get into radio. You'd be a good host.
Yeah. When the weather is beautiful, the businesses are making money, and that's what we like to see. So we don't get too many of these days. We've got a nice little weather pattern here lined up for us over the next few days.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. All weekend, or well, almost till the weekend, we'll see what Friday does. Friday is our first day in nine where we have more than a double-digit chance of rain, so that's good. Saturday, we're hoping that holds off as well, because the IU football, they have their big spring outdoor deal with everybody to have some fun. We don't want that to get washed out either. So it is a busy time of year. It's busy on the legislative side of things. We'll get to that. And it's busy with local elections. We've told everybody you have early voting hours all work week this week, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., 302 South Walnut Street. We'll get into that momentarily. But before we have the rest of April, before the primary gets here, you have a huge event coming up tonight. We're going to head to the President's Hall on Indiana University campus. I've screwed something up in there. I know it's tonight. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, we're really excited to be hosting the second event in the Chamber's Elect Connect series, and that will focus on all three of our mayoral candidates for mayor for the city of Bloomington. And that's going to be tonight. Doors open 5:30, as you said, at President's Hall, which is located actually inside Franklin Hall on the world's most beautiful college campus at Indiana University. We're so happy that we're able to partner with them and have such a great venue to share this event with the community. Everybody is welcome. You don't have to be a member to join this one. You just have to have an interest in local government and what our leadership is going to look like here over the next 4 years. And this will be a great opportunity to come hear directly from those folks as we ask some tough questions on how they plan to lead Bloomington and what their administrations and policies are going to look like, particularly as it relates to the business community.
And that is going to be moderated by you. Who's going to ask these tough questions?
Well, we've got Paul Helmke.
Oh, geez, the mayor, former mayor.
Yes, he's going to be doing the moderating. And as you know, Paul was a three-time mayor for the city of Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's now a faculty member at the O'Neill School of Public Environmental Affairs. So really couldn't have had a better person to do this moderating tonight. We're thrilled that Paul was able to help us out with that.
Excellent. And yeah, that's our friends from the, is it the Hamilton Luger? I never get that right either. I just need a whiteboard of all the things I screw up all the time.
Well, you've got the Hamilton Luger School, and then you've got the O'Neill School, both kind of closely related, but have different missions.
Gotcha. Well, tonight our mission is what? You can hear these candidates tell you exactly what their vision is for Bloomington and how they're going to make it work. I know there have been different mayoral candidate events. So, I think there were some on perhaps the housing issue or the health issues or other things. Does yours have a specific focus, or is it going to be as wide-ranging as Paul gets in there and asks those questions?
Well, you know, we're going to focus on the things that
more business.
Businesses are really interested in. Now, that's going to include a lot of quality of life issues. You know, we hear a lot about public safety and some concerns with violent crime rates and gun crimes and things like that, and staffing levels with BPD and the fire department. You know, we've got a lot of interest in the convention center expansion project, which...
Oh, that thing's still going on? That's still happening?
Yeah, 6 years. We haven't seen much progress on that, but maybe, you know, a new mayor, new city council, things will be different, so we'll ask some questions about that. We also, you know, we're looking for candidates who have who are ready to speak about the city and county relations and how we might be able to work on that dynamic for the greater good of the community as well, too. That's something that we hear a lot about in the business community. Housing is always a big topic. We've got, you know, Bloomington can be a kind of an expensive place for people and not a whole lot of housing options available. So looking at ways that we might be able to find some strategies and new policies to provide some relief there, too. So should be a really great event. All of these topics, I think, not only businesses are interested in, but I think just the average residents here in Bloomington would find this a very good event to attend to get some good information on these candidates who want to be our mayor.
Eric Spoonmore is the president and the CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. He joins us every other Monday, and that's the big event coming. Now, it's 5:30 tonight. What time is the question and answer portion going to start? I don't want to mislead folks and say, well, if you're not there at 5:40, you're out of luck. You have a little reception beforehand, and then what time does everything get started?
We'll have a little reception beforehand. The candidates will be seated at the dais by 6:10. And so that's what time you'll want to be there, is right around 6:10, 6:15 is when the questions will get started.
Excellent. So if you can't make it right there, you're not going to walk in and disrupt everything. It'll be fine. Just be there by 6:10.
That's right.
We don't want anybody to miss out. Are you recording this, Zooming this, or doing something different so if folks are out and about tonight, they can go back and watch it at a later time? I didn't see if that was the case.
Well, our community access television group, CATS, BCATS, will be there recording. And we hope that they will have that recording posted to their website under the community events section is typically where they put that. So it will be recorded and will be able to be accessed after the fact.
Excellent. And that's great because we know how life works. Not everybody can just stop and drop and roll. Well, if you're on fire,
correct,
you can. But now, there's a great way to have that. And CATS does a great job of archiving all of that for us here locally. Well, that's today. Today is Monday the 10th. And, the rest of the week, you're just going to sit around and do nothing, put your feet up, take some notes, and hang out. No, you're busy. And coming up on Thursday, the 13th, it is the Prime Time Business Expo. That is one of the biggest deals of the year. It seems like you have one of these about every month or every other month. You know, the home show is a big one, and you've got the Prime Time. Where is it going to be this year, and what do I need to know before Thursday?
Well, Prime Time is an awesome event, and this is the Chamber's biggest event that we do each year. So we're expecting, we'll have probably 400, 500 people coming through the event. That's going to be out at Switchyard Park, at the Switchyard Park Pavilion.
You're going to be
a new location for us this year.
You're going to be wrong on your number count, by the way, because if it's going to be 77 degrees and sunny, you're going to have way more than that.
And you know what? And with the free food, you're right. Yeah, so we may have close to 1,000. I don't know, but the more the merrier is kind of the way I see it. We really want to showcase the Chamber and everything that we're doing here in the community. So, again, a free event for the community to attend. There'll be lots and lots of our member businesses there showcasing their businesses and what they do. There'll be lots of restaurants handing out food items. We'll have a beer garden. We'll have live music playing. It's going to be a gorgeous day. Really no excuse not to come down to Switchyard Park and have a good time with us.
It sounds like a fantastic way to start the Friday Eve, if you'd like to call it, on a nice Thursday night. Now, is this the business after hours for the month of April, or do you have that in addition, or how does that work?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
But we are having a separate business after hours with our good friends at German American Bank on April 27th. That'll be down on the South Walnut Street branch.
Oh, it's Jimmy Inman. That's my buddy.
Yes, Jim Inman. That's right. Jim Inman will be there, and we're looking forward to celebrating with him and the German American team. They're such great partners with the Chamber, and so we wanted to make sure that we could kind of – slip in an extra business after hours for the month of April for German American.
And who doesn't want that? That's just as fun as well. But Eric, tell me more about Thursday. So we know it's from 5 to 8. We know it's at Switchyard. Do I need a ticket? Who can come? Who are you looking to get besides everybody involved with this?
Yeah, we would like anybody in the community to come out, and that can be, you know, Bloomington residents, Monroe County residents, you know, anybody who is interested, come on out and join the fun with us. You don't have to register. We would prefer that people do register online so we can get name tags for you, but if you don't have time to do that, that's totally fine. Just show up. Come out to Switchyard Park. You can go right to the pavilion. That's where all the action's going to be. We'll have tents outside. We'll have tables filling the entirety of the pavilion. The beer garden will be outdoors there, kind of connected to the pavilion. So we'll be a lot of fun for sure.
Oh, it's always fun. And that's, again, your biggest event of the season. That is for the community at large. So come out and enjoy it. Did this used to be at the fairgrounds, or am I hallucinating again?
It was at the fairgrounds for many, many years. Okay. And, you know, we decided this year that, gosh, we've got such an ideal facility in this beautiful park right in the center of Bloomington. Why not give that a shot this year? So, we kind of redesigned, re-engineered some things about the primetime event that I think people are really going to enjoy when they get out there to experience it.
The Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, you can find them online at, you got it, chamberbloom.org, is that right? Do I ever?
Chamberbloomington.org, yes. And I would be remiss if I did not also mention about primetime the huge number of raffled items that are going to be given away that evening. We'll probably have 75 to 80 different items that the member businesses at their booths will be raffling off, and some of these are pretty nice stuff. I heard that our friends over at Fourth Phase are going to be raffling off an entire computer system valued at over $1,200. So you're in for some nice surprises out there with the raffles for sure.
Excellent, and we'll talk about that more as the week goes on. I will remind you to get out there on such a glorious Thursday. Well, all it does is get you ready for Food Truck Friday. We just get you going back to the same spot, so that's a great place. And as you mentioned, Switchyard Park, plenty of parking. You can walk from downtown as well. It's going to be perfect, so please enjoy all of that. Our guest today from the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce is President and CEO Eric Spoonmore. I was talking to Marty Hawk last week, and she brought up a grant or monies or something else about a needle program, and I didn't get all the details in it, but she said that you have an interest in it, your group does. Tell me what we're talking about so everybody is aware of this.
Sure, yeah. Well, Councilor Hawk probably heard some recent comments that I made at a city council meeting that was to appropriate some of the opioid funding that the city had received. And one of the agenda items there was to expand the syringe services program and provide access to more sterile syringes. And just about 3-4 weeks ago, I guess, the county council also appropriated a grant of about $25,000 to the Indiana Recovery Alliance, who they contract with to administer the Monroe County Syringe Services Program. Now, one thing that, you know, I was on the county council for 6 years. And,
what's true?
When I was there, the Syringe Services Program was actually authorized for the state of Indiana. And you'll probably remember, several years ago, there were some real concerns going on down in Scott County, Indiana.
Correct.
Where HIV rates and hepatitis rates were really exponentially rising due to intravenous drug use. And the state had allowed counties to declare health emergencies and put into place a syringe exchange program, is what they sold it to us as at the time, where you would bring in a used needle, and they would exchange it for a clean one. Well, at some point in time, that changed, and now it's my understanding is kind of a needle giveaway program. However many syringes you need is what they'll give you, and there's no requirement for exchanging the used ones. And come to find out, you know, after doing a little bit of research, the $25,000 that the county council appropriated would provide about 265,000 new syringes for use, and that would be a 10-month supply through the syringe services program. And I think, you know, it's really important that we get our mind around some of the numbers that we're talking about here, because it is seems like there is a lot of syringes being put into the community for harm reduction purposes. And I think, of course, you know, harm reduction, there's a place for that, and it is a good thing. But I think, you know, really, if we're going to see transformative changes with our neighbors who are suffering from the disease of addiction, we're going to have to pump a lot more money into the types of services that are needed to really stop the cycle of addiction rather than prolong it. And so, yeah, I can see why a syringe services program would be helpful for the reduction of transmission of highly infectious diseases, but...
Is that a problem here?
Well, and I don't know. You know, this, again, it goes back to some of the data that we're just not really... It's very difficult to get. I don't know what the infection rates are for HIV and
we have a lot of chickens and eggs, but you know, what causes what or what does... I think the greater question is, though, the exchange program, as you mentioned, is no longer an exchange program. Now it's a giveaway program, and that's different.
And it's hard on our businesses when they're spending time, you know, cleaning up a lot of the discarded syringes around their businesses. And, you know, nonprofit groups are having to utilize their time and their employees' time to clean up their properties when, you know, they've got other missions that they need to be meeting and spending their time on rather than cleaning up dirty syringes that have been kind of discarded around the community. So
the greater point is the money could be used better somewhere else.
Well, we think so. I mean, it's not to say that, you know, there's not a place for these types of programs. I think, you know, we certainly do not want to see elevated transmission rates of the infectious diseases. But we know that local government has a considerable amount of ARPA funding available to it. To the tune of tens of millions of dollars. And this is money that could be transformative in making sure that, you know, people who really need the help to stop the cycle of addiction can get it through services, addiction treatment services and so forth. And, you know, that's what we would like to see, a nice mix of everything.
Sure.
That could, and not just focusing on, you know, harm reduction or syringe programs. You know, we cannot Narcan our way out of the addiction crisis.
And the other thing is
to stop it in its tracks.
Are we the only county that does this in the area, or this happen in every county? Or because if we're the only one in the area, well, I know where they're going to come to get their other stuff.
That's a good question, and I did a little research on that as well too. And we're one of eight counties in the state of Indiana. So in other words, there's 94 other counties that do not have a syringe services program. But really, there's a couple of counties to the south of us down in Clark County on the Ohio River, as well as Vandenberg County, where Evansville is. And then there's Monroe County. And then everything else is, you know, Indianapolis and north. So I think Marion County has one. And then at that point, it's all kind of up in the region, and then Fort Wayne. So there's not a lot of these counties that have these programs. You know, Scott County, they were the first to implement a syringe services program, when the state allowed it in 2021, they ended it, and they haven't appeared to have a spike in infection rates of those highly
interesting,
you know, transmissible diseases. So, something that, you know, we just think a little bit more data will help us determine, you know, are these programs really meeting the goals of the community as they were, you know, originally put into place for.
All right. I know you're busy this afternoon. We always appreciate your time, and best of luck. Again, 5:30 tonight on the campus of Indiana University. Franklin Hall, do I have the right building?
Franklin Hall, President's Hall, is located inside Franklin Hall. So you can park at the Poplars building for free and walk right over to Franklin Hall, and you won't miss all the signs out there for the Chamber of Commerce, that's for sure.
Excellent job, buddy. Well, we appreciate it, and well, hopefully everybody will get down and see you, if not tonight, Thursday, prime time, 5 to 8 at Switchyard Park. Have a great rest of your Monday, Eric. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Glass. We'll talk to you soon.